Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Clive Urquhart.
Great. Brilliant. Okay, do you want to grab a seat? Good morning, everybody. It's great to be alive, isn't it? Even though England are out the World Cup and Murray didn't make the tennis final and Germany looked like they might win the World Cup, whatever happens, praise the Lord anyway. We'll have another go in 4 years' time. Shall we get on then, eh? Brilliant. Who reckons you can manage the England team better than Capello? All right, well, I'll put your name forward. And how many? You could earn £6 million a year doing that job. Would you rate to that one? Yeah, that's cool. Excellent. Now, this is part two of about a 55,000-part series that we're doing. And there's just loads of stuff that... can you just take the zing out of this for us? Thanks. Cheers. Just really, there's loads of things that God's been putting on my heart over the last couple of months. And we just kind of want to get into some of those a bit more as a church. But one of the key things that God has been saying to all of us is about singing. And singing over barrenness or singing where we don't see everything that God has been saying, and life has been released, or God's life has been released into situations that we've been singing over. And right at the start, before I kind of get into the word this morning, Michelle Mackay is just going to come and give a bit of testimony as to what she's seen God begin to do and what he said to her in this kind of area of just singing. So let's welcome Michelle, shall we? She just comes up, gives a bit of testimony. Brilliant. How you doing?
Good, thanks.
Brilliant. Yeah, oh, you're going to preach. Oh, here we go. I'll go and sit down then, shall I?
No, please don't. Right. I just can't hold them both at the same time.
So what's been happening then with you?
Well, since we had the challenge right from... I haven't held a microphone for a couple of years now. So since we had the challenge from the Lord through Pastor Jane to sing over areas of our lives between now and Faith Camp, I've been doing that. It's been great. I've been singing... I knew the area, and I've been singing what's true, you know, out of the scriptures and what have you. But I knew that the Holy Spirit wanted to speak specifically, so I've been waiting for that. And then at some point during last week, I had a text from one of my best friends, and she said, can I phone in 10 minutes? I'm like, yeah, that's fine. Within that 10 minutes, I received the breakthrough, and I heard what I was meant to sing, so I started singing it, and it was great and everything. Then when I got on the phone to her, she said to me, can I share with you the scripture that I had for you this morning when I was in prayer? So this is it. It's Psalm 119, verse 41 and 42, and it says, may your unfailing love come to me, O Lord, your salvation according to your promise. Then I will answer the one who taunts me, for I trust in your word. And I knew that the Holy Spirit wanted to speak more about the scripture. So I went into the Strong's Concordance and I looked at various words in this passage. And I got to the word where it says, then I will answer. And this is what it says. It says to respond, to begin to speak, specifically to sing. Isn't that incredible?
So,
yeah, that was it. So I've been singing.
What's the difference between what you were singing and now what you are singing? Because you've got a word specifically to, you know...
It feels like I've got a clearing in the spirit. That's what it feels like. And right. I'm seeing fruit in areas that I hadn't even... It's almost like God's gone to the root, but I'm seeing the branches, the fruit in the branch, if you see what I mean. Because there's always areas, isn't there, from the root, if you see what I mean. So he's clearly dealing with the root of the issue, but I'm seeing the fruit in all sorts of areas of my life.
Right.
You know, grapefruit.
Brilliant. Excellent.
Freedom.
Brilliant. Let's encourage Michelle, shall we? Okay, now, just before we get into this week's message, just to kind of catch up a bit with last week, one of the things we were kind of talking about was what word are you living with and what word are you living by? And if we have... You know, not just a word, but if you know, if you're in the word and God is speaking to you, one of the things that it talks about in Ephesians 6 about the word is the word is our shield of faith, And that if we are living with a word and by a word, then we are holding the shield of faith up. And then it says all the fiery darts of the enemy, they hit that shield, but they have no effect on us because we're holding, you know, a word up. We're holding the truth up. We're holding God's life up in our lives. So when the enemy tries to come and have a go at us, it falls to the ground, if you like, in our lives because we are living with a word that is like a shield of faith. But also, it talks about the sword of the Spirit, a two-edged sword, and it's the sword of the Word, so that when you're living with the Word and you're living by the Word, you've got the sword of the Spirit in your hand, and you're using that to overcome situations or to break through in situations, or you're applying that Word in your life by speaking it over your life or speaking it over the situations, or for us, as God's been saying, we're singing those things over our lives. So the importance of the power of the word at work in us holds that shield of faith up, which defends us from the enemy's tactics, but also the sword of the Spirit in our hand, that we use that to apply the word or sing the word or speak the word into the situations. And it's interesting, like Michelle was just saying, that, you know, we can just sing generally. It's all the word. It's all truth. So we can sing that. But when God speaks specifically to you and gives you his word, faith gets released in a different way than just necessarily saying, well, what shall I sing? Well, I can sing that. It's good. I could sing this. That's brilliant. But you know, when God speaks, he speaks right into your spirit. Faith is released. So then you're now singing with faith and not just hope. You're singing with an expectation of what God has said is going to take place in you or in the situation that you're singing into or singing over. And so the power of the word that you are working with, is really important in your life, in my life, and in our life together. And so we're going to kind of continue on the whole theme of the bigger kind of thing that we're talking about, that God has called us to be builders, not just holiday makers. That you're here, we're here, every one of us, to see, well, you know, we know that Jesus builds the church, okay? And it's he that does that. But actually, we're all called to work as part of the church, work in the life of the thing, whether that's Sunday morning or whether that's out in our workplace, wherever it is, we're all part of the body of Christ, wherever we are at any given moment. And so the question is, do we have a building mentality or do we have a holiday maker's mentality? And we're going to look at some real practical things this morning from the Word and just use some kind of building analogies to holiday analogies. And hopefully the idea, right, is not to kind of say, am I this or am I that? But actually, it's to say, right, if I have a holiday mentality in any of the areas we're going to look at, how do I move from that into becoming a builder of God's purposes? How do I become an active builder to actually be part of helping the body of Christ be built up, be strengthened, be equipped, be motivated, be inspired? How am I part of the answer and hopefully not in any way part of the problem? How many of you want to be part of the answer and not a problem? You know, we all want to be part of the answer, do we not? So we're going to look at some practical things. Let's have a look in Jeremiah 29 this morning and just start in verse 5. So what are you building with is the question. So God builds according to his word. God builds your life. He doesn't build a structure. When the Bible says that Jesus says, I'm going to build my church, he's not talking about an organizational structure. He's talking about your life and my life. Because that's what God does. He completely transforms lives and rebuilds them according to his pattern, not the pattern of sin. He builds your life according to a biblical pattern. He brings you into relationship with him and he redefines the pattern of who you are. And because we are made in his image. So when we become a Christian, we are brought into Christ and then Christ comes into us. So we now have a new pattern that is at work on the inside of us. And what God does through the rest of our lives, whether you've just become a Christian or you've been one for many years, whether you're at the beginning of your life and you know God, or whether you're more at the other end of life and a bit older and there aren't so many years left, God still builds according to the same pattern. He builds your life and my life so that his kingdom is extended. God doesn't mind, I don't think, sometimes how we do certain things and what organizational things that we have in place. I think he's more concerned about that we are living according to his pattern in our life and listening and responding to what he's saying. And along the way, he'll enable us to have the right structures and forms and things in place as we go. But what God is talking about is, I want to build your life so that you're a builder of my kingdom purposes, not a holiday maker. So let's have a look in Jeremiah 29, verse 5. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons. When it says find wives for your sons, it means find a wife for each son, not loads of wives for, all right? It's saying here, find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there, do not decrease. Also, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. So what's the first thing? If we're going to be builders and not holiday makers, the first thing God's talking about here is covenant. Make covenant with where you are. Take root where you are. You see, a builder's mentality is to build houses and settle down. A holiday maker says, well, there's no point building anything because I'm only here for a few weeks. So why should I invest long term to build something? I'm only here for a few weeks, so I'm not looking to build something. I'm not looking to make covenant. I'm not looking to build relationship with anybody because I'm here on holiday. I'm here to consume and have a great time. But a builder of the house is saying, a builder of God's purposes is saying, I'm here to be part of the building process. I'm here to settle down. And it says, plant gardens and eat what they produce. See, if you rent a house, you're probably not going to do a lot to the garden. If you rent a house, you're probably only going to do what you need to do because that's what the contract says. You're probably not going to pay for the garden to be landscaped. You're not going to probably make a massive vegetable plot and invest loads so that you think over the next few years, we're going to cultivate a whole massive vegetable garden if you're renting. But if you own the house, if you're there and you're thinking, I'm owning this thing because I'm here long term, you might kind of have a look at the garden. How am I going to design this? What are we going to do there? I want to make sure that it's not just the grass is kept so that the rental guy, when he comes around, ticks the box and says, yeah, you're cutting the grass. Because you own the house, you're saying, how can I develop the shrubs, the trees, the plants? If I'm going to produce fruit to help feed myself, then I'm going to create a vegetable plot because I'm here long term. I'm putting my roots down. And so a builder is saying, I'm here to build, I'm here to settle down, I'm here to plant, and it says here, I'm going to eat what the ground produces. You see, if you're a holiday maker, what are you doing? You're just consuming what you have cash for at that moment. Once you've spent all your cash, and how many of you know when you're on holiday, you might be away for a couple of weeks, and by the end of the 2 weeks, you think, I'm glad I'm going home today because we've just run out of cash. Anybody ever had that on holiday? Or are we the only ones that have done that sometimes? You set aside a certain amount for your holiday, and halfway through the holiday, you think, hang on a minute, we spent 2/3 of the money. We're only spent half by now. And so you kind of, but at least you make it work to the end of the holiday because you only had a certain amount of cash. Why? Because you're there to spend. You're there to consume. You're not there to build and budget. You just think, let's have a great time, spend everything we've brought with us, and let's go home happy. That's the idea of a holiday, isn't it? To go home happy. What's the point of going if you're not? How many of you go on holiday and you go home and you think, well, that was a rubbish holiday. I spent loads of money. Went in the sun, went to the beach, ate out all the time. What a load of rubbish that was. You know, all of us, you want to come back happy from your holiday, right? How many of you know the only things you can bring back from your holiday is a memory? We'll come to that in a minute, all right? But there's four things here. We're here to build, we're here to settle down, we're here to plant, and we're here to eat of the produce. You see, if you have a holiday mentality, you're not looking to produce any fruit. You're actually just looking to see what you can get out of it. Whereas if you're a builder of the house, you're saying, right, what am I going to sow into the ground of people's lives? What am I going to sow into the life of what I'm part of? Why? Not just because what am I here to sow, but also God promises as you sow into the lives of others, as you sow into the vision, as you sow into what you're part of, God says, I want you to eat of the fruit that is then produced in the life of what you're part of. It's very interesting, you know, in leadership, it's quite easy to know who are the sowers and who are the consumers in the life of the church. Because your sowers, when I say sowers, I don't just mean money. I mean those that are giving their lives into the vision and into the life of the church, right? They're the ones, because this is a building mentality, that are always looking for a solution. They're always looking to be part of the answer. See, if you're building something and a problem arises, the builder doesn't start blaming everybody else and saying, oh, stuff it, I'm going to leave. The builder's thinking, hang on a minute, I'm investing in this, I'm putting my life into this, I'm putting money into this, I'm putting time into this. There's a problem, I've got to find a solution. I've got to be part of, I've got to find an answer for this because this is my thing. But what does a holidaymaker do? A holidaymaker, if it doesn't go right, they complain about it all. Well, this isn't right, and that's not right, and I don't like this, and I don't like that, and I've paid for this, and I haven't got my money's worth. That's a holidaymaker. The holidaymaker is not there to find a solution when something's not going right. So a builder of the house, if you like, is somebody who's looking to be part of the answer, looking to be part of the solution to see the vision fulfilled. A holidaymaker is just saying, what is this thing going to do for me? What am I going to get out of this thing? And when problem arises, very interesting, some of the feedback I get sometimes here and there, that you have some mentality that is like, I want to help and be a part of the answer. But then the other thing you get back is some negatives of people saying, well, I don't like this and I don't like that and I don't like the other. It's like, well, okay, that's not going to help just because you don't like certain things. There's probably certain things I don't like, you know. But I don't go around moaning about them, you know. It's like, well, let's if that's not going as good as it can be, let's be part of the answer to make it better than it is then. Because a builder says, I'm not going to blame somebody else. The builder says, I'm going to take responsibility as part of this thing. So if it's not going as good as I think it should, I'm going to help make it go better than it has been going. And so that's the kind of builder's... Why? Because the builder is thinking that I'm here to plant... I'm here to sow, but I'm also here to reap. I'm here to enjoy the benefits of what I'm part of, because that's what the word says here. Okay, let's have a look. This is even goes even further. It says in verse 6, marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage. That's long-term thinking. When you go on holiday, hopefully on holiday, you are not looking to marry your kids off while you're on holiday. It's not a recommended way of going about getting a wife for your son or a husband for your daughter, all right? Holiday's holiday, all right? Just go and enjoy your holiday. If you're married, stay married while you're on holiday. If you take your kids with you, make sure they stay with you and not go off with somebody else on holiday, right? Because holiday's not for that kind of thing. Marry and have sons and daughters, find wives, they too, so that they also then may get married and have sons and daughters, increase in number there, do not decrease. See, a builder is looking generationally. See, a builder is not just thinking about his own generation. He's thinking about the generation coming after him. Saying, I'm here for what is happening in my generation, but I'm also here to help build something in the purposes of God that the next generation after me can actually come into more of God than I've ever known and ever seen myself. Because we're builders. We're not holidaymakers. Remember, a holidaymaker consumes, a builder has a purpose. He builds, you know, to plan to purpose because he's going somewhere. He's building something. And so there's a generational thing that is taking place here. Then it says in verse 7, also seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I've carried you into. Pray to the Lord for it. Now, interesting here, we'll bring out a couple of things. Because if it prospers, you too will prosper. A holidaymaker, when you go on holiday, Probably the last thing you think about is the prosperity of the city. You probably don't necessarily pray for the city you've gone on holiday. You might do because you're there. Father, while I'm here, bless the place. But your intent by going on holiday is not that you get up early in the morning or in the middle of the night or whenever and you're praying for the salvation of that place or whatever. I don't know. Because you're on holiday. You're saying, I hope the weather's great. I hope the beach is really nice. I hope the food in the hotel is going to be good or wherever you're staying, whatever you're doing. You're looking to have a great time. The mentality isn't, as it says here, to seek the peace and prosperity of the city. Why? Because you're on holiday. But if you're a builder and you're establishing something where you live, how many of you want to live in the most peaceable, prospering town in the whole country? If you live somewhere, you want the atmosphere and the environment of the town, you want it to be a great place because you live there, because you're going to raise your kids there. You want it to be a place of safety. You want it to be a place where you can flourish and thrive in life because you're living there. If you go on holiday, you're not particularly that bothered. You just go have a great time and you're not really bothered if this and that and the other's going well in that city. If it's not going good, you're glad to get out of it. But if you're building, you're actually there to change it. If you're building and planting and sowing and rooting your life somewhere, you're there to see the place transformed into what God wants to do where you're being built and where you're being planted. So a builder's mentality is I'm here long term. I want to see the peace and prosperity of the city to which I'm part of. Then it says, pray to the Lord because if it prospers, you too will prosper. What does that mean practically? We want to pray for the council. We want to pray for all those in authority. We want to pray for the police, for the fire brigade, for the ambulance service. We want to pray for teachers. We want to pray for business people. We want to pray for all the people that serve the community in a different way, which includes us lot because we serve the community. But we want to serve the people that, as their jobs, that's what they do in some way, work for government, national or local or for various services in the area. We want to pray because if all those people are prospering, we will prosper. But how many of you know also that if we are prospering, then the town's going to prosper? So a builder, just taking these first few verses for a minute, is somebody who's building God's purposes. They're settling down. They're not looking to disappear quickly. Jane and I, I obviously grew up as part of Kingdom Faith. And whenever I was 18, 19, something like that, Jane and I, we'd just been going out for a few months. And I went down to the southwest to be part of a ministry called Heartbeat at the time, it's now called New Generation Ministries, and to be the drummer in a band down there. And about 6 months after that, Jane moved down and was doing all the secretarial admin stuff. And we knew long term we weren't going to be there forever. I knew at some point we'd move back here, but I didn't know when or to do what exactly. But when we were down there, we didn't know how long we were going to be there for. But a decision we made is that however many years, however long we're going to be here, we're going to live here like we're not going anywhere else. We're going to plant ourselves here and live here like we're never, ever going to go back to Sussex. Because if we live with this mentality of, well, we don't really want to be here, we'd rather be in Sussex or we'd rather be somewhere else, you're never going to give yourself fully to what you're part of. You're never going to really invest in the people, in the place, and certainly what we were part of, traveling all over the place. You know, if we weren't committed to that, it would just be a pain in the neck. You know, the guys leading it would have been like, Clive and Jane, where are you? Never here. You're somewhere else. How can we trust you, rely on you? How can you be part of this thing if you're somewhere else in your head, in your mind? If you're not really given to the thing, what are we going to do? Whereas we're saying to them, we are here. If we're here for the rest of our lives, we're here to commit ourselves to the vision initially that the leaders had. And as we were part of that, it became our vision. It wasn't just Ray and Nancy's vision anymore. It was our vision. And we were running with that. We were living with it. We were passionate about it because we were part of something. Why? Because we'd given ourselves to it. And at the right time, God said, right, it's time to go back to Sussex and get involved with whatever's going to be happening there. And when God does that, there's a right process and a right way of doing it where you don't extract yourself from a situation. God, in seasons and the way he works, orchestrates the right things at the right time in order to move you into the next phase or season of your life, you know. So if we were still down there, it's because God said you're supposed to be down there. How many years ago? But that's the mentality, that's the heart. Doesn't matter if I'm here for a year, if God says I want you to be there for a year, you give yourself like you're going to be there forever. Why? Because that's covenant. So let's have a bit of a look here at some seven sort of practical things for a moment, just to help us kind of earth this a little bit. Is that all right? So what's the difference between a builder and a holidaymaker? Well, firstly, a builder, he understands that the future is determined by how he lives today. A holidaymaker just lives for the moment. He's not bothered about tomorrow. He hasn't got to deal with that till he gets there. He is just living for today. I want to have a great time, go to the beach, go swimming, go for a meal, do whatever. I'm here on holiday. And a holidaymaker lives according to his emotions. What do I feel like doing now? I feel like having a kip. Well, fine, go and lie in the sun and you can have a kip. Because there's no schedule, there's no work, there's no meetings, there's nothing that you've got to go and do. So on holiday, I just fancy having a kip. Well, poof, off you go in the sun and you wake up like a lobster in a boiling pot. But and so on holiday, you live by, what do we feel like doing? What do we want to do? Let's do this, let's do that, let's do the other. Whereas a builder doesn't live according to his emotions, he lives according to his will. See, God, as we said last week, God only works with his word. He doesn't work with your emotions, my emotions, our opinions, or circumstances. He works with his word. What he wants to do is he wants his word to work in our lives so that his thinking becomes our thinking. His ways become our ways. That we want what he wants. What did Jesus say? I haven't come to do my will, but I've come to do the will of the one who sent me. So Jesus said, I mean, imagine if Jesus got up one morning, spent time with the Father, and the Father said to him, there's some things I want you to do today. And Jesus said, well, Father, I just don't feel like it today, mate. I really don't. I've had enough of praying for the sick and raising the dead and casting out demons and the Pharisees, bless them. They're always having a go at me. I just fancy having a chill out today, Father. Imagine if God had turned around and said, all right, Jesus, we'll chill out today, mate, and I'll go and find somebody else. I mean, Jesus said, Father, not my will, because sometimes I don't want it. He was honest with God, I reckon. I reckon there were times when Jesus was alone with the Father where he said, Father, I don't know if I'm really up for this. I feel a bit like a holidaymaker this morning. I'm trying to wake up, trying to get my body active, but I feel a bit like a holidaymaker, but I know because I'm a builder, I'm going to submit all of that to you. And Father, what do you want today? How can I serve you today? How can I walk with you today? Because I'm a builder, not a holidaymaker. Jesus was a man just like you and me. Sometimes we think, well, because he was Jesus, he never struggled with that. Of course he did. He was a bloke. He slept at night. I'm sure sometimes when he woke up in the morning, he didn't just ping awake like, you know, and he was off. That's it. I'm awake. I don't know. Jesus probably lived on 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours sleep a night, maybe a bit longer sometimes. But because he was a builder, he said, Father, not my will, but your will be done. See, a builder lives according to plan, to purpose. He lives according to will, not emotions. And how do you know how to live according to will? Because you know what word you're working with. What has God said to you? What are you living by? What is it that you're praying into? What are you singing over? What's the shield of faith you got up? What's the sword of the Spirit you got up? Because I tell you, when you're holding those things up in your life and you're speaking those things over your life, you're singing them over your life, it's a constant reminder of what God is saying, what he's doing in you at that moment. So you're building into your own life. You're drawing, excuse me, on what he's put inside your spirit. So you've got something to combat the enemy and something to overcome him with, or whatever comes your way on any given day. So a builder lives according to will, not according to emotions. Number two, let's have a look at this one. A builder invests. A holidaymaker spends. As part of this, a builder invests in relationships, he invests in family, he invests in people, he invests in what he is part of. So if we're investing, and we talked a few minutes ago about one generation to the next, We've got to be, you know, as parents, you think about what are you investing into your kids? Whether that's spiritually, whether that's in helping them to grow, mature, just in life with life skills and responsibilities and discipline and right way of manners and all those kind of things. You invest in your kids. You don't leave them to find their own way. How many of you know what happens if you leave your kids to find their own way? Sometimes it works out all right, but especially when they're really young, you've got to help them, because if not, they just do their own thing. And how many of you know when they're young, when kids start doing their own thing, it's pretty messy. And you have to start sorting some things out. A lot more difficult to sort out down the road than they are if you deal with them early on or whatever. So a builder invests in relationships, family, people, even in infrastructure. See, what does a builder do? He's looking to create a home. He's looking to create an environment for people to grow in, for people to mature in. He's looking to create a stable environment, one of stability, one where people can find identity, find purpose, because he's building something. He's defining something. A holidaymaker, they're not thinking about building, investing or anything. They're thinking about spending and using where they are. See, on holiday, you use the facilities that you've paid for. If something's busted, you say, oh, you need to fix this because it's not working. So you use the stuff. Whereas over here, it's like, I'm here to help build this thing, put it together, give it some structure. We've all been doing that with the hub the last few months. It's a practical building thing. And we've been sowing into what we're doing there to create that environment. So, but that is linked with investing into people because of how we're using it and how we're going to be using it. So far, just to give you a quick update, we've had about 82,000 in for the hub, which is absolutely brilliant. And so just a massive thanks again to everybody that's been sowing and giving into that. If you want to continue sowing into that, you can do. And every week people are giving into the hub. We've still got the play, the soft play thing we're going to be putting in August. That's our kind of right. We're going to do this in August. So we've got one or two companies we're just trying to finalise some things with. But we need to give them about 4 weeks' notice to order it and then for it to be finally in the place by the end of August. So by the end of this month, by the end of July, we want to make sure that we've got the 26,000 that we need to put that in. We are trying to get some funding at the moment, and hopefully we'll hear back in the next couple of weeks whether we can get all of it or some of it for that. I know one or two of you specifically have given specifically to put the children's area in there, which is absolutely brilliant. So if you can want to continue sowing into the whole work there, then you can do. And whether you might have put some in the offering today, you can put it in the offering as long as you clearly mark it on the envelope, hub refurb or the children's play area, whatever. And we can gift aid that if you're a taxpayer. And because we still want to build that. Why? Because it's not just having a nice building, because it's connected to people. Okay, let's have a look at number three. A builder doesn't complain. I've already talked about this, but he is part of the answer. But a holidaymaker complains if things are not right. So a builder doesn't complain. He wants to be part of the solution, part of the answer. A builder gets his hands dirty. On a holiday, you're not there to get your hands dirty, are you? Phil's shaking his head. You didn't go on holiday to get your hands dirty, did you? You go on holiday to just relax, chill out, and have a great time. Whereas here, we're here to build. Genesis 2, verse 15 is a reminder again of what God's been saying to us. He put Adam in the garden and he said, work it and take care of it. And we said this last week. One of the reasons why we're saved is we're saved to work for God's kingdom while we're on earth. There is quite a big Christian mentality out there that we're saved just to have a great time and consume everything that can come our way. And I want to be part of something that's going to bless me and do this for me and that for me. Man, we all want to be part of a church where we get blessed and get built up, right? Is that right? Man, if you're in a church where you just feel cheesed off all the time, then nobody wants to be there. So we want to be part of something where we get encouraged, we get built up, we get strengthened and all of that. But it's so that we can work and take care of God's purposes on the earth. Because if you're blessed, then you know somebody else can be blessed. It's very easy, isn't it, in our thinking that, well, everybody else can get healed except me. Or everybody else can be blessed except me. I mean, that's the enemy's lies, isn't it? But you know, if I'm blessed, then you can be blessed. If God can heal me, he can certainly heal you. Because there's already that mentality that, well, God's probably going to heal you before he's going to heal me. Because sometimes we struggle with the fact that does God actually want to heal me? Of course he does. That's his nature, to heal. Does God want to bless you? Of course he does, because that's his nature, to bless. And so when you get hold of that and I get hold of that, how much more then do we want to see other people blessed and other people healed? Because we're like, man, if he does it for me, he's surely going to do it for you. And John's testimony earlier of his arm being healed, and the I don't know if the plates have all disappeared, John, or whether, you don't know yet, haven't had an x-ray. But you can't feel what you could feel, because some of what you could feel there in terms of the plates, you can't feel now. So, you know, it's amazing. But you see, as he's been blessed, and as he's speaking things out, people have been getting healed as he shared his testimony. Because he's been blessed, others are going to be blessed. You just can't help it, because the word is living and active. As he shares the truth of what God has done, then God's power gets released to touch other people's lives and things happen. Okay, so number four, a builder understands that they have a part to play. A holidaymaker doesn't want to work because he's there on holiday. I've kind of shared some of these things already. But in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, let's have a quick look there for a minute. Paul's writing to the Thessalonians here, and he says that we always thank God, verse 2, for all of you and mentioning you in our prayers. Verse 3, we continue to remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. So there's three things here that a builder does. He works with faith, because what did we say last week? Faith is a substance. What does Hebrews 11 verse 1 say? Does it? I wonder how you spell that then. What does Hebrews 11 verse 1 say? Faith is the substance of things not seen and the evidence of things hoped for. So faith is the substance. Where do you get faith from? Faith comes from the word. So God puts substance in you by speaking to you. So what's the substance in your life? It's the word. And so this is the substance that you are working with. So it says here, there's three things that a builder does. His work produced by faith. So our faith is the substance that we do the work with. What does it say in John chapter 6? The work of God is to believe. How many of you know when you try and drum up faith, it's really hard work? If you try to believe for something, you're trying to look for faith somewhere, and it's really difficult, isn't it? But how many of you know, when God has spoken to you, what's the difference? You know, when God has spoken to you about something, all the struggle goes. You're not trying to find the answer or wonder if God is saying something. When God has spoken, you're like, wait, that's it. That's it. God's spoken. Brilliant. Thank you, Jesus. It's like something changes on the inside of you. He only needs to give you one word or a scripture or a sentence. But you know, when you've heard from God, instead of trying to do something in your own work, your own effort, you know, suddenly, hang on a minute. God's spoken. That's it. That's the work of God, just simply to believe. But then what does it say? How does it flow on for a builder, you and me? Your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love. So this is faith now working through love. How does your faith work through love? Well, God speaks and puts something in your heart that he wants to do, wants to see happen. Because you then know God has spoken, you're not trying to do something in your own effort, but because you know you've heard from God, you're living with a word and by a word, you're not trying in your own effort to make that happen. You know God has spoken, therefore, instead of trying to do it in your own strength, you know, well, actually, this word that God has spoken, that's now going to be prompted by love. I haven't got to try and do this and produce this. God's going to do it through me. How many of you know when you've heard from God, it takes the pressure out of the situation? It depressurizes your thinking, depressurizes your emotions, depressurizes the circumstances in many ways, because you know, hang on, God's spoken, that's it. That's it, I can relax. And then, so it's his work produced by faith, labor prompted by love, expressed through love, and endurance inspired by hope. See, when you're living with a word and living by a word, you've got something to endure with. You've got something to walk with. You've got something to live by. You've got something that's going to help you to walk through situations, challenges, opposition, outcome, and all of that. Why? Because you're living with something. That's why it says here, your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. So a builder is somebody who's working with faith, is prompted by love, and is enduring with hope. Whereas a holiday mentality is, I don't need any of that because I'm not here to produce anything. I'm not here to love anybody, and I'm not hoping for anything for anybody. I'm just here to have a great time. There's a bit more to being a builder than there is a holiday maker. A holiday maker is pretty easy by the sound of it, isn't it? But yet, being a builder, it's like, man, you got purpose, you got future, you got destiny. You're part of something that is going to transform lives. You're part of something that is moving forward, that is advancing. Man, you know, being a builder, you're investing. There's going to be return and all of those things. Let's have a look. Number five, a builder, as in not just a physical builder, but a spiritual builder, if you like, sees a series of lives affected and changed. Whereas on holiday, there are no lives changed. All you have is a series of memories. So you come back from your holiday and you've probably taken some video or some photos or whatever. And when you come back and you look at those on the computer, or if you use one of those cameras, you know, do you remember those with a film in it? And you go down to Boots, get them developed. That might be a foreign concept these days. But anyway, however you look at your pictures, you know, you look at them and you just recount the good times that you had. Oh, wasn't it great when we went there? Oh, brilliant. Oh, that was so funny. Remember that moment? Oh, that was hilarious. Oh, remember we had a bit of a go at each other there? Yeah, I know. It was a bit of a... Never mind. But anyway, and it's just, it's memories. And the only way you can capture them is on a computer or on a bit of photo paper. Whereas if you're a builder, you're not looking back with a memory. As a builder, you are living in the good of what you're investing in day after day after day. So what you're living in never becomes a memory. It never becomes history. Because you're living in the good of what God is doing today. You're living in the now of what he's doing today. You're also living with a great expectation of what he's going to do tomorrow. So you're always looking forward, whereas a holiday maker always looks backward. The only time a holiday maker looks forward is when he says, I can't wait to my next holiday and all the fun that I'm going to have and the memories that I'm going to get. But until I get there, I'm going to live off the memories of what I experienced for 2 weeks over here. Whereas a builder is not thinking about, well, you know, what's the next holiday I'm going to be on? A builder's thinking, what's tomorrow going to hold? What's the next day going to hold? What I'm going to see happen the day after that? Because I'm living in something that's going to carry me into tomorrow to continue this building process of what God's doing in me and amongst us. And ultimately, it's going to affect many, many other people's lives. So a builder really is about having a series of lives that are being affected and changed because of what we're investing. Over the next two or three Sundays, we're going to look at sons and fathers. That God has called us all to be sons. And the word says, when Paul talks to Timothy in Corinthians, he says to him, you've got loads of guardians, but you haven't got many spiritual fathers. And how Paul invested in Timothy and raised him as a spiritual son. And then he sent Timothy to go and do the same thing, to really not just to be a son, but to become a father. And what does that mean for us in our Christian lives, not just to be sons, not just to be children of God or sons of in the house, but actually what does it mean to be fathers? And by that, I don't just mean blokes being natural fathers, but what does it mean for every one of us to be spiritual fathers? What does it mean to move from being a follower to a disciple? See, a holiday maker is a follower. See, what did Jesus say to the disciples? Come follow me and I will make you. He didn't say, come follow me and stay as a follower. He says, come follow me and I'll make you into something more. I'll make you somebody who's going to be a disciple, but also make disciples. And he said, I'm raising you up as sons, but I'm not just going to leave you there. You're going to become fathers of the faith. Because Jesus is always looking, how can I move somebody from where they are to where I want them to be? How can somebody move from being a follower to being a fisher of men, as Jesus put it to those guys? So as a builder, connected in with this point here, a series of lives affected. The Great Commission, as we all know, is go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you. And so God's purpose for every one of us is to make disciples. See, you are made spiritually to reproduce. You are made to reproduce. See, as people, male or female, part of our internal organs are designed to reproduce life. It's just in you. And there comes the right time, you know, when you're married and everything, to have kids. But inbuilt into you is to reproduce. That's the same spiritually when we know God. You know, part of God's purpose is that we don't just stay as sons, and we stay as sons. But actually, God's purpose is, no, it's great to be a son, but there's got to come a point where you leave, if you like, your mother and father, but spiritually, you leave a place of just staying as a son and look after me, feed me, make sure everything's all right for me and all of that. You've got to move at some point to becoming a father where you take responsibility. You reproduce the life that is in you. How many of you know that when you become parents, especially for the first time, you never thought you were ready? There's certain things that no matter what anybody told you, you only really found out by being a parent, you actually really found out what it's like. And being a parent is probably the most responsibility, you know, the most anybody could ever have, but it's probably the most least preparation you can ever have. So suddenly you have your baby and there's this baby and you're like, and no matter what your parents told you, what your friends told you, what your mates told you about being a parent, suddenly you've got this baby and you look at each other and you're like, right, so we're taking this thing home tonight. Oh no, what's that coming out the side of his nappy? What do I do with that? Well, you do it. No, you do it. I'll let you do it. You know, there's all that goes on and it throws up or whatever. Or you know, you're changing the nappy and suddenly wee goes everywhere. And you're like, oh, you know, I had my shower earlier. Thanks very much. You know, and nothing can prepare for being a parent. You just got to learn on the job. Is that right? That's a lot like making disciples. Nobody can sit you down in a classroom and give you 50 points to making a disciple. Now go out and do it. You'll only discover whether those 50 things work by having a go. And whatever somebody tells you, it never seems to work out how they actually told you it was going to work out. Is that right? So actually making disciples, it's a lot easier than you think it is. It's not about, do I know four spiritual laws and have I shunned eyed for 2 hours this morning to be able to invest in somebody else's life? Mate, making disciples is literally getting alongside somebody's life and beginning to invest whatever God has done in you into them. I mean, there's a bit more to it than that, and we'll come to that. But it's not a big freak out thing. Many of you have been Christians for a long time. There are many of your friends that don't know Jesus. They know absolutely nothing about God. Zilch. And inside of you, you have a wealth. You have like a bank full of wealth inside of you. You've got loads and loads inside of you to invest in somebody else, to put into somebody else that doesn't know Jesus. And as they come to know him, you've got a wealth of stuff to invest into their lives to make disciples. And so God wants every one of us to have a whole series of lives that are affected and changed as a result of your and my life, because we're builders. We're not holiday makers. Amen? Okay, a couple more points and then we're going to finish. Number six, a builder lives for purpose. A holiday maker lives for pleasure. A builder lives for purpose. A holiday maker lives for pleasure. So what did Jesus say? Come follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. So here's a purpose. Come follow me, but I'm going to make you. Now, we've looked at that verse before as to what it means and everything. But But right from the outset, God's got a purpose. Jesus had a purpose. I'm sure he had a great time. He was the most joyful guy that's ever lived. So they must have had some laughs along the way, surely. I mean, what do you reckon? They must have had some laughs along the way. I mean, how many people out there, they look at the church or they look at Christians or they look at what they think Christians are or whatever, and they think, I don't want to go anywhere near that. Why? What's the main reason why people don't want to go near it? Because it looks pretty boring, doesn't it? Why do I want that when I'm having a better time over here? And I think Jesus, you know, there was something about him where he just loved to live life. I think people need to see that aspect of our lives as well, don't they? It's not whether you've got money or not, or a good lifestyle or not. See, people are a bit deeper than that. You know, they can look beyond whether you live in a nice house and a nice car and, well, you're blessed or whatever. I mean, I don't think people out there think like that, whether you're blessed or not. They're looking at your life. They don't mind what your context is. What they want to see is, does it work? Have you got a better life than me? And I think for a lot of people, it's not, have you got a newer car or a bigger house or nicer stuff? Because people are, you know, okay, people can be that deep, but also people are a bit deeper than that, you know, as well. When it comes down to the reality of life, doesn't it? And I think people look at our lives and they're like, man, there's something about you. You've got something that money can't buy. Another bigger telly's not going to do it, or a nicer car or whatever it might be, or a better holiday. There's something that you've got. That's what I want. And that, why? Because you're living for purpose, not for pleasure. You've got hold of something eternal, not temporal. Because a builder's living for eternal, not the temporal. Let's have a look at number 7, the last one. A builder builds a home, a place to dwell, a place to live. A builder defines hospitality, whereas a holidaymaker just visits. So even in any church, this church, any church, doesn't matter, you could name any well-known church in the world or one round the corner that nobody's ever heard of. Doesn't matter, whatever church, in every church you have your core people. They are just, they live for the vision as much as you do, as the leader does. And they're like, they're just giving their lives to it. It's like, oh man, well, those people are great to work with. Then you have people in any congregation, no matter how big it is, whether it's a few hundred or many, many thousands, you'll have these three areas. You'll have your core people that are just into everything, the vision, whatever it might be. I'm there, I'm part of it, I'm doing it. Then you have your general congregation, where people are part of the thing, they're involved in this and that and the other, and it's great, they love to be in it, and they give in certain ways, and you know, but there's a certain limit to it. But then you get people on the fringe of things, and they're your visitors. And I don't mean you're visiting the church today for the first time, but you can be part of something, but have a visiting mentality. Well, I'm here to consume. I'm here to see what it can do for me. I'm here to see how it can bless me. I'm not really going to give myself. I'm just visiting. Now, for me, I want everybody to be on a journey. If you're just visiting like that in your mind and your heart, that you then become part of, no, I want to be part more of the general congregation of what's going on. Towards, I want to be one of the core people to help make this thing happen. And it's not that you've got a few core, a long congregation and a few fringe. You could have a huge core of people, a smaller next thing, and then a few fringe. You could have a few core, a massive thing, and a few, you know, it's not what the percentage is, but what God wants every one of us to be is a builder. That as part of this church anyway, that everybody is a builder and we don't have holiday makers. I know it's a journey and we move from one thing to the next. There might be certain areas that we've gone through this morning and you think, wow, yeah, I have a building mentality on that point, but actually I'm a bit of a holiday maker on that, on another point. And that's not a problem unless you stay there. What we want to do is move forward as part of what God's doing so that we're all moving to become builders in that way. And so a builder helps to define the home. What does that look like in terms of the church? Because we understand that in our terms of our own homes and own houses at home. We create an environment, want it to look nice, be nice, especially when you've got people coming round and all of that. You look after it and you keep it clean and tidy and everything. But when it comes to us being together, say this building here or the college or wherever, What does it mean, you know, on a Sunday morning? See, being a builder is part of those things is doing car parking. Being a builder is being a host person. Being a builder is being on the response team when people give their lives to the Lord. Being a builder is being part of the worship team. Being a builder is working on one of the children's teams in one of the different ages. Being a builder is somebody who wants to come here early to help set up. Being a builder is somebody who doesn't mind staying a bit after everybody else is gone to clean up, sweep up, mop up, tidy up, make sure everything's ready for the next bunch of guys using the building, whether it's tonight on a Sunday night or another point. A builder is when they walk into the room, they're looking around to say, is there anything that's not happening I can help to make it happen? A builder is looking to, when the thing starts at 10:30, a builder is looking to be in there before it starts because they're saying, I'm here to build the presence of God and to release the presence of God so whoever comes into this place can encounter God. A builder is somebody who's looking to respond to the word and in their own lives, but also respond to help an atmosphere of faith being released when we come together. A builder is somebody who greets people, even if they're not on the host team, and says, hi to you, how are you doing? It's great for you to be here. My name's so-and-so. What's your name? Where'd you come from? Great to meet you. Somebody might say to you, actually, I've been here for 3 months. It's like, well, okay, never mind. Now you've connected. Don't take offense if somebody says, you know, I've been here for 3 months. Thanks very much. You should have said hello to me when I first came here. I mean, don't be like that. Just say, great to meet you. Brilliant. It's great. Connect with somebody. See, what's a builder doing? A builder creates an environment. A holidaymaker consumes it. So a holiday mentality on a Sunday would turn up and say, what's the church going to do for me today? Or somebody sitting in my chair. How dare they? You know, or the music's a bit loud this morning. Or the snare drum's a bit loud. Or something's not quite right. Oh, it's that person leading worship. I'm not really into them when they're leading worship. Who cares who's leading worship? Because we're not here to consume, we're here to build. If you turn up to build, you will be blessed. If you turn up to build in terms of what God is doing, you will receive. If you turn up to bless other people and to give into the whole environment and the atmosphere, you're going to hear from God. That's the way the kingdom works. If you give, you will receive. If you sow, you will reap. The world says, if you turn up to do that, you're going to lose out if you give. You want to make sure you get paid for it. Make sure you get the deal first before you commit yourself. If the disciples did that, none of them would have followed him. If Jesus said, Peter, you're going to be turned upside down and you're going to die on a cross, he'd have probably said, I'm going to go back to fishing, thanks very much. Now, I'm not saying that's going to happen to everybody who gets involved in the life of the church. But how many, we're builders. And we want to, not just a building mentality. If you can hear what I'm saying this morning, overarching what we're going to be looking at. God is doing something, not just in this church, but in churches all over this nation. And we've used this phrase for a long time. God's turning the church inside out. I tell you, the type of churches that God is raising up now, they are not teaching centers anymore. They're not places just to come and get blessed on a Sunday so that you have a good week. They're not places just to consume another message that most people don't apply in the week. They just want to feel good on Sunday and go home and have lunch. You know, God is changing the whole heart and mentality of the church in this nation, helping us to get beyond ourselves, beyond our own stuff. And of course, we need encouraging, we need building up, we need strengthening. But God is redefining not just what the church looks like, but how we live, how we go about, how we think, how we engage with community, how we engage with people, how we engage in the workplace, all these different things. But it's in terms of church life. God is changing the DNA within church life in many churches. It's not, this is for the believers, and now this is for people that don't know Jesus. You know, this is the bit for me that I like in the church, and this is what I put my evangelistic hat on and then go and reach some unsaved people. God doesn't separate like that. He says you'll be known by the love that there is amongst you. So there's something when people come amongst us where they're like, wow, what is it about you guys? Whether that's a Sunday morning, whether that's in your home or a life group or an event or an outreach, no matter what it is, all of it is contagious. All of it is to be filled with the supernatural activity of the Holy Spirit. All of it is to be filled with at any given time, us looking beyond ourselves. So when you turn up to Life Group, whether you're having a meeting in the week or it's a social at the weekend or whatever you're doing, whenever it is, you're looking to go there to build into the people because it's part of building the house. It's part of building the body so that we grow to be strengthened in the faith, become mature in the things of God, so that the body of Christ is built up. See, that's why you're a builder. When you go to work, you go to work, don't you? Because you want to help accomplish whatever your company's about. Well, in one sense, part of the church is like that. Part of being in the church is, I'm here to work. I'm here to be a worker for the harvest field. Jesus, interesting, isn't it? He didn't say, just get on your knees and pray for the harvest. He said to the disciples, oi, lads, the harvest is plentiful. That's not the issue. It's the workers that are few. Man, we need to pray to the Lord of the harvest for workers in the harvest field. And that's how God sees every one of us, as workers, as builders, as fulfillers of his purpose. Let's stand together, shall we? If we could have the band up, that'd be great. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Just close your eyes a minute. Just raise your hands for a moment. Just thank the Lord that firstly, just say, Father, I thank you. You called me to be a builder, not a holiday maker. Thank you, Jesus, that you are putting your word, the substance of your word, into my life, into my hands, so that I know what I'm working with in my life. Because you've called me to be a builder, not a holiday maker. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Let's just take a few moments, but I'd really like just to respond. We're just going to go through these 7 points very quickly and just respond to the Lord. Talk to the Lord for a few moments. The first point that we made was a builder understands the future is determined by how he lives today. He lives according to his will, not according to his emotions. Now, just submit yourself afresh this morning. If you know you've been living by your emotions in different ways, just submit yourself under his lordship. Say, Father, I don't want to live according to my emotions anymore. I want to move forward and live according to your will. I want to live according to your word, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just raise our voices a little bit. Let's talk to the Lord. Let's activate a bit of faith this morning and just engage our hearts with this for a few moments. We want to be builders and not holiday makers in any area of our thinking, our mentalities, our hearts in that way. I was asked a question a few years ago. What do you want your town to look like in 10 years? Because what you do today will determine what it's like in 10 years' time. That's what a builder does. How he lives today affects the future. But he begins to affect it by making right decisions and living right today. So, Father, I thank you that we have future-minded people, future-hearted people in this room this morning, that the way we live today will affect the way Horsham and this area is in the next 5 to 10 years. Thank you, Jesus. Just make a decision now. The second point was investing in people rather than just not putting any roots down. Now, this might be a challenge to some of you. Because I know it's very easy when you're part of a church, if you don't like something, you're always, well, I'll go and try somewhere else. And where if you have that kind of mentality, you'll find something in every church that you don't get on with. There is no perfect church. But if you are where you know you're called to be, then it's like, right, Father, I'm going to give myself and I'm going to invest my life into the lives of everybody that is part of the same thing I'm part of. So if you know you've struggled and in that area and you've been like, well, I don't know if I've had a bit more. I don't know if I want to put any roots down. I don't know if I'll just be here until I kind of fancy going somewhere else or feel like I want to move. If you've been struggling with that, just say, Father, I choose to be where you've called me to be. And I choose to put roots in. Roots down. I want to be a builder in the house. I want to be a builder of your purposes in this house, in this place. I want to settle down. I want to plant gardens and I want to eat of the fruit of this house. Yes, yes. Even to this point, especially if your parents, Father, I want my children to be blessed in this house. That I'm here to also invest in my own kids, along with the church investing in my kids. So the next generation after me, they're going to be blessed also. So I'm here not just to invest in myself, but I'm here to invest in the next generation that are coming after me, because I want to see them blessed also. How many of you want to be part of the answer in situations? A builder doesn't complain, he's part of the answer, whereas a holidaymaker complains if things are not right. Just tell the Lord, Father, I want to be a builder, an answer, part of the solution, part of the outcome of this house and everything that you're doing at this time. If you know you've moaned and complained, just ask him to forgive you right now. Just repent of that. Say, Father, I ask you to forgive me. I've been negative about other people or negative about certain things. I ask you to forgive me for complaining and moaning and grumbling. Father, I just put that aside right now. I leave that holiday-making mentality over there now, and I choose to become a builder in this area. I choose to become part of the answer. I choose to speak well. I choose to speak the promises you've given us as a church. I choose to be an active builder in Kingdom Faith. Thank you, Jesus. Just thank the Lord that he speaks fruitfulness over your life. That you're here to see a series of people's lives affected and changed, and not just a series of memories. Just thank him that in these coming months, as from a church point of view, leadership point of view, we start to do a little bit more to do with equipping and training for winning souls and making disciples, especially as we come into the autumn. We're going to be doing a whole load of that stuff. And just thank the Lord that he's appointed you to bear fruit and fruit that remains. Just speak that over your life right now. Thank you, Father. You've appointed me to bear fruit and fruit that's going to remain. That you call me to make disciples, and they're going to stay. And those disciples are going to make disciples also. Because it's about succession of what you put in me affecting and living in somebody else also. Number six. It's living for purpose, not for pleasure. Thank you, you call me to purpose. We can have a great time on the way, absolutely. But pleasure isn't our first port of call. You know, if you're living according to purpose, I tell you, there'll be a joy that is released in your life that you won't have to look for pleasure or happiness. You'll be living in it. Because, you know, when you serve God and you get stuck into whatever he's doing, you're like, man, this is brilliant. This is more fulfilling than anything else. Because you know God's working in you and through you. So just decide this morning, Father, I choose to live for your purposes as part of this church and not for pleasure, for my own personal gain. And Father, I thank you that as I give and as I live for purpose, I will be blessed and everything, because that's the way you work, Father. But I choose to live for your purposes, to be a blessing into the body, into my life group, into those that I know. I choose to be a blessing on a Sunday. I choose to give myself to be a builder of the house. Number seven, build a home. That's what a builder does, whereas a holiday maker just visits somewhere. He doesn't want to do anything except visit, whereas a builder builds a home, creates an environment and atmosphere. Now, there's some practical stuff to some of this. On Sundays, I mean, I'm going to use the word need, because that's what it is, really. But if we think of it in terms of building and creating an environment, we need to have more people parking cars on a Sunday. There's two or three people that are legends out there. They do it all the time. And we want to have more, because it's not just about parking cars. It's about greeting people when they arrive. It's about creating an atmosphere when people pull up. Some people, they're happy when they get out of their cars. Others, not so happy sometimes because of what might have happened on the way or whatever. But we want to create an environment when people get out of their cars. It's like, right, you're going to begin to meet with God the moment your door opens and somebody greets you. Now, you can do that. I can do that. So we need more people out there hosting, part of the hosting team, or bigger than that, which would be great, is that when we arrive, we're looking to greet people, all of us in this place. We're looking to say hi. We're going and greeting the person that we don't know. Because for some of us, you might know somebody, this is their first time. For others, you might not. They might have been here a few weeks. But that's part of being a builder, going and greeting, hosting, welcoming people. That's part of building the house. That's part of creating an environment in this place. You can get involved in all sorts of things, from cleaning to worship team to doing whatever. But on a Sunday morning, it would be awesome that at some point in every month, every single one of us does something on a Sunday morning to help create this environment and this atmosphere. Children's ministry, man, the children's stuff is going great. But, you know, more people, the more we can invest in the next generation. So maybe that's a bit of a practical challenge, but if you're here to build the house, then building the house is not a servant mentality. You see, a holidaymaker is a servant. He's a slave to something. Whereas a builder is a steward of the house. What does a steward do? A steward carries something on behalf of the person that owns it. God's the owner of the church. We are stewards of the house. We are carriers of his purposes. So therefore, we are stewards of hosting, greeting, welcoming, parking cars, mopping floors, cleaning the loos, sorting chairs out, doing the children's ministry, being in the praise and worship team, being a steward, whatever it might be, whatever it involves. That's being a steward of the house, a builder of the house. Father, I thank you and praise your awesome name for builders in this place this morning. I thank you for a building heart, a building mentality, even more than we've ever had before. Father, I thank you for a strength for every builder here, every person here. Strength in a fresh way in their lives as they're part of building your purposes as part of this church. Whether it's here on a Sunday, in the workplace, in the business realm, in school, in college, wherever it is, Father, we're all builders of your kingdom purposes all of the time. And Father, I thank you. Just raise your hands this morning. Father, I thank you for fresh grace being released upon our lives this morning to be those builders, to be those that work and take care of your purposes. And Father, I just continue to speak fruitfulness over every life, over every person here today, whether young or old, whoever they are, your blessing, your prosperity, your fullness over every life. And in that fullness, Father, I thank you that many others also receive from the overflow of who you are in our lives, that many others this week will be blessed because of our lives and the way we are builders and we go to work, we live, we're at home with that heart and that mentality. Praise your awesome name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.